Blog Talk Radio.
M-A-D-D-A-D-S. Men against destruction, cause you know that we are blessed. Fathers of the ghetto ain't expressing nothing less. From the north to the south, to the east, to the west. Man, that's how you feel. On the streets, we keep it real. Day and night, the struggle fight is serious. I'm so for real. Tell me what was I to do. All I seen was black and blue. Soldiers showing love.
Hey, welcome everybody to Blog Talk Radio. We are reporting live from the national headquarters. Big ups to everybody in Florida, Iowa, Buffalo, New York, Pittsburgh, Lincoln, and Omaha, Nebraska, Dallas, and of course the headquarters right here in Minneapolis, Minnesota. It's really exciting to be here today with you. Today I have a special guest, very special guest. First of all, we want to say Dr. King paved the way in so many ways, and we're so fortunate to have had an opportunity to see the dream and watch the dream as he envisioned it and watch so many people fight, continue to fight as we do, to see those dreams come true where all races and all colors are recognized. Today, our special guest is Mahmoud, Professor Mahmoud El-Kate. And, Professor, welcome to Blog Talk Radio, sir.
Well, thank you, VJ, for inviting me. I'm delighted to be here.
We're taking questions, and if you want to talk to Professor Mahmoud El-Kate or have a conversation, you can do it right here from Facebook. Walter Anderson is looking in, Lisa Powell, and Dennis Spears is even on here. Mahmoud El-Kate, we love you, Dennis, and we love you, Walt. You know that. But if you want to call in, it's 347-215-9262. What words of wisdom would you give to our people as we look forward and we celebrate Dr. King, and then we go forward into Black History Month?
Well, I think people like you, VJ, are doing a part of what he called for. And his one of his many charges to us said this, that everybody can be great because anybody can serve. You don't have to have a college degree to serve. You don't have to have a PhD to serve. Your subject doesn't have to agree with your verb in order to serve. You don't have to know about Plato and Aristotle to serve. You don't have to know Einstein's theory of relativity to serve. You don't have to know the second theory of thermodynamics and physics to serve. All that you need is a heart filled with love and a soul generated by love.
Now, that's all you need. All you need is that to serve. Tony Southside Miller, how you doing? Aaron Stewart, you're calling all. I think you're in London now. Thank you, Aaron, for being a part of this. And Carol, how you doing? We got, if you got questions or things you'd like to talk about with Dr. Mahmoud El-Kate, he's here to talk about it. Today, earlier, we were with the Southside Coalition, and we talked about history. I want to say one of the things that I feel that especially our young people, they don't know their history, and what is causing them is to do what they think they're supposed to do. Criminals, gangsters, pimps, prostitutes, drug dealers, they think that's what they're supposed to do when they don't even understand their history. And when I go into the jails and I tell them that that's a form of profit for them, that they make $300 a day off of you versus now that you could go out and make money yourself every day, they make money off of you because then they give you a product to sell to incarcerate you. So while you think you're getting a brand, a badge, for being recognized as being a criminal, you're not getting a badge, but what you're doing is creating profit for individuals that have decided to make profit off of incarceration.
Well, that's true. It's there for everybody to see. It's no big secret what's going on with our youth, but I think we got to stop talking about youth as if they lived in a vacuum away from us. I think that's the older people's part that they're not playing when you say that they don't know their history. Why don't they? See, it is your and my responsibility to teach them, if indeed we know our history. It's not just the youth. I think that's an excuse. if you've got to, we're not, they're alienated from their culture, their heritage, and so forth. That's just a fact. This may be the first, time that's ever happened in this way in our culture. You know, we've always been alienated from what we please, what's called white America. But now, with young people are kind of alienated from themselves because older people were here first and they have a certain responsibility to young people. And that is one of the things is to teach them what they know. That's an old African sensibility. It's called fundi. The end generation, that's a Swahili word. The older generation is obligated to teach the younger generation what it knows. And we haven't done that very well. So to say that young people don't know that history is kind of an indictment of people who are older. Do you know your history? That's the point.
I like what you just said, is that the reason why we need to stop saying young people don't know their history is because it was our job to teach them their history.
Right.
Ginger Patterson is on the line. Ginger, you had a lot of interesting things to say, and I want you to know that Professor Mahmoud said, I don't know everything, and so there are some things that people like you can teach. Leslie is on. Laurel is on. We got Seta on. Seta, how you doing? Welcome, everybody, to Blog Talk Radio. If you got comments or questions, we'd like to hear about it, but also let's start passing this out. The reason why people don't know their history is because we haven't taught them. Mm-hmm. Where do we start at, Professor? Kind of answer that question. Where do we start in terms of teaching?
Well, there's no starting place. Knowledge can be entered from any point. It's not any special first, second grade, and so forth. We have an abundance of knowledge within our own experience as an African descended people's experience in America. We have that, and we need to really, I don't know quite how to say this, mind this.
Go ahead.
Mind this experience. Learn more ourselves. One of the things we can do tomorrow is formulate Saturday schools within the black community, and anybody can start one in a kitchen. When you
Saturday schools like we're going to be doing.
Yeah, something like that, yeah. Well, you take out from the week a time for learning, and generally it could be Saturday. It could be a Sunday afternoon. You know, Dr. Carter G. Woodson, the father of African American History Month, inspired Negro history reading clubs when I was a child. That's why I know some things that I know from being a part of a Negro history book club where people met on the weekends, Saturday or Sunday, and consulting a reading, a book, or Frederick Douglass's speech or something to fill the void that we don't know about ourselves. I think one of the things we make with this race talk that Europeans have trapped us in is that because you're a black person or black individual doesn't necessarily follow that you know a lot about black people. As a people, I'm not talking about your family and your church members and so forth, but we are a nation of human beings. Even though we don't have a flag that we can call our own, we're a nation. A nation is peoplehood. It has a historical background. It has a common heritage, a common religion, and so forth. Like black people, we were just like the Kurds and similar. There's a parallel to being a Kurd over in Iraq, which is really a nation without a flag or a state.
Wow.
The black American experience in what we call the United States, which began before the United States was organized, we are a sort of a nation within a nation. And I'm not saying that to be provocative and say you're not an American. You're an American legally by the 14th Amendment. That's longer than most people who call themselves Americans. We've been Americans longer. that they not only legally, but by dint of our experience. So we are a people. That's what I'm saying. And we need to learn more about our peoplehood, not certainly learn about your family and your kinfolk and that kind of stuff, but and your personal lives and that sort of stuff, those who precede you. But we are a distinct people, Frederick Douglass says. We are one people. We are one in common complexion. We are one in common degradation, and we are one in general aspirations.
Well,
we are one people.
We are one people.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I had a chance to go to North Korea twice this year.
I know.
With the ACLC, and to had an opportunity to be connected with people. And this was the first time in the history of my life that I felt like a human being instead of a black man.
Mm.
I felt like a human being, and it never happened. I've traveled all over the United States.
Yeah.
It was the first time I went somewhere, and people treated me like everybody else was treated.
Mm.
I went into a store. I didn't feel like you might shoplift. How can I help you, sir?
Mm.
I didn't get treated like that, and I'd never, ever been treated like that before. And I came back with a new sense of way of thinking, a world view of things, and I needed that world view. So that's what I... Can you explain to me kind of what happened to me when I experienced... What was that? What do I call that?
Well, many individual black people have gone abroad and have had a similar experience of being... Frederick Douglass said when he first went to the Soviet Union after the revolution, that for the first time in his life he felt like a free human being. And of course that caused tremendous controversy back in America and got him in a hole that he could never get out of. But what he was really saying was true, that he didn't feel any particular things hovering over him, you know. And that's the kind of statement that covers a lot of things about you. You know, you're different, and they remind you of it, and not just the police, but the baker and the people at the grocery store line and everybody, because we live under this ideology of white supremacy, which you shouldn't expect the people who run the country to acknowledge. They know this. They promoted it. They created it. The United States government created a race problem when they wrote in the Constitution that black people were 3/5 of other persons. That's just a fact of our history. It's a white supremacy doctrine. It teaches white people values that cause them to believe they're better than human beings in every way you can imagine, because they're white. Well, that's utter nonsense, and anybody who can see that that's not true, you know, and it needs to be challenged, no matter who's the president. You know, you're dealing with the American government has been for most of our history our enemies.
That's pretty interesting, and one of the things is that we as individuals, and I'm trying to get us back where I can see, we touched something here. I'm trying to get us back where I can see people's views.
Okay.
I see we got Nadia on here, we got Sada on here, and Angela.
Angela,
I know you're learning, so we're excited about you being on here. We touched something here, and I'm just trying to see what questions and where people have questions.
Yeah.
And I cannot see the questions. Right now I can't get the call in, but we will continue to talk. We'll continue to talk. I'm sorry, the call-in is not working right now, so you can't call in. And but I can't see the number, so they can't call in. I won't be able to get your number. And I can't see the views on here. I don't know what I did. Me and Mahmoud touched something.
No, I didn't.
We both, he had the phone for a little while. So if you got a question, I can't see it right now, but what I do want to say is that, Mahmoud, I think it's important that we answer this question, and it's a question that I think has been devastating the community, and I've asked you a lot about it, but, you know, other cultures ask me this too. They say, why can't you know, if the Arabs can come up here and get all the stores, if
Arabs.
The Arabs, if the Somalians can come and create their own credit unions and do all this stuff, if the Mexicans can come and take up Lake Street and Broadway and do all this, what is wrong with us, and where are we going wrong as African Americans in this community, Africans in this community? Where are we going wrong, and why aren't we progressing as rapidly as they are?
I think that anybody who thinks can't answer that question, because they are not, they don't have a heritage of slavery, and they are not Negroes, they don't have a civil rights fight to get to vote, and so forth. We are distinct people in the American experience. We are, we hate this, the most despised people in this republic are the descendants of slaves, and there's a reason for that. It's not just our skin color. Is that we hold a certain truth. People who run this country understand who black people are. We are witnesses. We never missed any chapter in American history. We were here before George Washington was born. We were here before the Constitution was written. We were here before the invention of the United States. Do you understand that?
Mm-hmm.
We got book on America. And that doesn't mean every black person knows this, but the knowledge base of black people, we've had intellectuals throughout history, even those who couldn't read, who understood their condition and why black people have to be treated like this. We have to be wrong, you know, even though the people who oppress us are wrong. From the 3/5 clause written in the Constitution, making black people property, not just people, from the Dred Scott decision, all the great arguments of the 19th century, you know, court decisions, from the Supreme Court and other governmental entities has struggled mightily to keep us oppressed, to keep us from being heard, the voices of a Frederick Douglass, William Wells Brown, the great James Varick, and the founders of African churches and so forth. If we're the voice in this scenario, if there's any such thing as truth, we got it. But the American people have been taught by their leaders to be liars about race and believe in that kind of stuff, that race is nonsense. Any scientist now, once they didn't say it, will tell you that, you know, that race doesn't respond to scientific truth. The first two laws of science are observation and consistency. Race is not consistent with what you observe. It's to people who look a certain way. You're supposed to deduce from that your individual ability or your group's cultural achievement. Well, that's nonsense, you know, that people who come here from other places, like Somalis, even from Africa now, there was once, they wouldn't allow Africans, continental Africans, in this country, you know, thanks to the Civil Rights Movement, who challenged the immigration laws in 1965. That's when Africans started coming, other people, East Indians and so forth. Black people have to do with that. We would be the only one who raised the question, why aren't there any Africans allowed to take up citizenship? You know, that's directly related to the Civil Rights Movement. So we have those kind of things to truth. I believe, I don't know everything, I can't understand everything, but this is what I arrived at, you know, that you are not going to understand anything in this country, says Neely Fuller, until you understand the doctrine of white supremacy. Otherwise, you're going to be confused about everything. That's the common denominator. It's a doctrine, that's a belief system, that's the way people are forced to see the world through these lenses created by authors of the Doctrine of Independence, and I include most of the founding fathers, not white people, because there literally is no such thing as white people, as if they all speak the same language, they come from the same place, they have the same religion. That's nonsense, you know. We're taught that through an ideology of race. We are victims of a powerful myth. That's not the first time that's happened in the history of the human family. Myth is as common as is history itself. Myth is not just an outright lie. There's a little truth to it, but Most of it is manufactured and so forth. The fact that I'm black doesn't tell you what language I speak. The fact that I'm black doesn't tell you how smart I am. The fact that I'm black doesn't tell you what moral system I practice. The fact that I'm black doesn't tell you that I'm a Christian or a Muslim or a Jew or a Zoroastrian or whatever. Those are beliefs. They're not colors. They're not biological facts. So we are fooled by that. What's wrong with race is the idea of it is that if it goes beyond the fact, it starts with something biological and ended up with something another. It has to do with language. Language doesn't have a color. It has to do with religion. It doesn't have a color. What are you saying? But that's what we believe because the rulers consistently and persistently have taught its population that the any government is responsible for managing the population. And America has managed it around the idea of race.
Mm-hmm.
The founding fathers, there's 55 of them, most historians say. I wasn't there. Katie Couric wasn't there. 55 or 66 men who invented America. That's who invented it. They were all English speakers. They didn't speak Italian or whatever. They were English speakers, and they were the English Isle. They were Protestants. They weren't Catholics. They weren't Jews. That's who was there at this table in this country. They were white. They called themselves white. I didn't. Anglo-Saxon Protestants. That's who founded this country. The two other major things is English public law. See, law, religion. Religion being Protestants, there were no Catholics at the table. There were no Jews at the table. Obviously, there were no black people at the table. Nor were there any women at the table. You know, these were 55 or 56. I wasn't there. That's what the record says. Handed down to us. That's who founded the Republic. So no wonder four of the first five presidents of the Republic were white supremacists. George Washington was a white supremacist. Thomas Jefferson, you know, I advance it as a suspicion only that the blacks are inferior to the whites both in the endowments of the mind and body. Now, that's just one classic statement. Anybody who want to know more about that, read Notes on the State of Virginia, which is the only book that Thomas Jefferson wrote as a book. Now, he wrote enough to fill up a room, but this book where he talked about everything that America was, its land, its lakes, and so forth, its animal life, and then he got to Native Americans and black people in a chapter called Laws. I'll say no more. You read it if you got some guts, and he will tell you what he think of savages, which is the word that he used for Native Americans. He would declare that whites are more beautiful in physical appearance, and he would go against the grain of some what the Greeks said. The Greeks said aesthetics. You can't put aesthetics in a basket. What is good and true and beautiful to you? That's beyond that. You know, those kind of categories. He made whites the most beautiful people, the most moral people. You know, black people were dull in the senses. They weren't very bright. I'm using mild terms. Some of this stuff is ugly. That's why people won't read it. But he did say something as a white supremacist that I couldn't say today without being called a racist. Quote, musically speaking, they are superior to us, both perfect time and pitch, and he went on talking about the superiority of black people in music. You can't do this today. He could say that as a white supremacist. He said just one thing stood out to him, because he was a little half-baked musician. He played the fiddler or something like that. Well, he saw all these black musicians, you know, that was a job for black people, entertaining white people. There's some black people never chopped tobacco, never picked cotton, never did that. They were just like fiddler and roots. That's what they did. They did music, and they had these bands that played these big parties where the great dances came from and so forth. That's where show business started, on a slave plantation. What we call Broadway, Broadville, and so forth, come from the slave plantation. So Jefferson could say that because he's a white man I'll give you that. He also said that we are at least as brave as they are, so that's possibly because we don't have a sense of danger. We just walk into something, you know, and it looks like bravery.
Yeah.
We're nothing but ignorant niggas, you know,
right.
Who ain't scared of nothing, you know.
Yeah.
But that's because they don't have any sense. He conceded that. But he said, never have I seen one who I think could master Euclidean theory, higher mathematics. Never. And on and on and on. He wrote Benjamin Banneker, the black genius, who said, see, that's how white supremacists manipulate everything. He respected Banneker's mind. Why did he respect Banneker's mind? Banneker was a slave whose wife bought him off the plantation. She got free first. And he wrote Widest Read Almanac. He made a clock, not the original clock, but the original clock in America. He predicted the sun to the exact eclipse and so forth. That's a man named Benjamin Banneker. Here and there you find a school name for Benjamin Banneker.
Mm-hmm.
Most white black people, not to mention white people, haven't a clue who Benjamin Banneker was. A smart, bright, near genius black child can go to school for 12 years and not hear his name. Thomas Jefferson knew him. He recommended him to one of his friends, intellectual Condorcet, who lived in France.
Mm-hmm.
And he recommended this Negro, you know, he said something, I wish they were more like them or something.
Mm-hmm.
But and Benjamin wrote him back, protesting, just like Kaepernick, because he's part of that.
Right.
Benjamin Banneker, yeah, I'm all right with you, Jeff, and you're all right with me, but my people are enslaved, and I was one. That's a letter. You can go find that. You know, people say, well, where you get that from? No, you go find it. I'm not going to do your work. I want you
That's
to
right.
find it. If you're a white guy, you say, where the hell did he get that from? Yeah, I got it from somewhere like you. What's your history teacher's name? He got it from somewhere. That's how I got it. Research. You go there. You find it. I'm not going to do your work for you. Yeah, there was a Benjamin Banneker. Yes, Thomas Jefferson were aware of him. Yes, he knew the myth of Benjamin Banneker. Name spread all over the South as this mm-hmm. black genius. We don't know about it. A black child can't be inspired by that story. You know why? Because he doesn't know it. He can't be inspired. That's what history is. History is a source of inspiration. It's not just a source of making you feel bad. No, it inspires people to do things. And this is what happened in the 60s.
Let me ask you a question because it's interesting. I want to say big ups to everybody. I'm sorry and I apologize for not being able to see your questions. I know you got them. I can't see them for some reason. I don't know what we did. We touched something. And I can't, you know, one of those things. I don't know what it is. But what I will say is that I got three questions.
Mm-hmm.
And the first question is, in this community, Mahmoud El-Kate is known for history. But who was your Mahmoud El-Kate when you were coming up? The second question is that what has been the one thing that, because you tell so much history and tell so much truth to our people, what has been the one thing that has caused a barrier from doing that? And then the last thing is, who rooming to take your place in this position as a historian?
Answer the last question first. Who am I grooming? You.
Okay.
That's enough right there.
Okay.
What's the thing you do? You ask me a gaggle of questions. What? Who are my heroes and so forth? There's a gaggle of them, you know. I don't know. But if you, you know, the man who champions my belief system, there are two people, and it's Frederick Douglass, of course. But after that, it gets cloudy with Paul Robeson, who I think has to be one of the great men of the 20th century, period. Could do it all, did it all, including being a great athlete, and a great scholar. Mary McLeod Bethune is a hero of mine who founded the beautiful old school in Daytona Beach, Florida, with $1.50, and one of the great women of the world.
Yeah.
Sure. So there's a, see, we done heard just a gaggle of great heroes that we don't know. So I'm just mentioning those few as kind of representatives of a certain stance. Black man or woman is, first of all, they got to fight to be moral. And all these people I mentioned, you know, like I got a system of values and beliefs that I live by, and I demonstrate them. You know, we got a gaggle of people like that. And you got to have that moral courage. It's the greatest courage you can have, not shooting somebody or being in an army. We have an abundance of moral leaders which transcend America's madness about race and so forth. What black people are trying to do is to free humanity from the madness of race. The people who run the country know that. There will be a new world order if you put them out of business. You know, and the main thing that white leaders have and that is that they can control the minds of white people. They can discipline white people by putting make them all look like little automatons. You know, like dumb-driven cattle. They can change their mind because they believe in race. You know, that's their religion. Whites don't know that's their religion. But tell me, what do they owe their highest loyalty to? It's certainly not Christianity. It's certainly not Judaism. It's certainly not any other religion they can claim. No, it's the idea of race. Race is God. And in the Western world, this is a modern thing. People who were white before didn't believe that are called white. Nobody ever called themselves white. You know, they call themselves, you know, who they were. Nordic, Swedes, Germans, Irish, Welsh, English. You know, people live on the British Isles and not the same people historically, you know. The Scots are still arguing over that. The English, Anglo-Saxon, beat them up, took their language and gave them English. You go to Scotland today, you'll see dual languages, so forth. So that's not even settled among white people who call themselves. That's a new monstrous idea that came into the world about 400, 500 years ago when Chris got lost. That's what started that.
Wow. You've been listening to Professor Mahmoud El-Kate right here at Blog Talk Radio, Mad Dad's main headquarters. Want to say big ups to everybody in Florida, Iowa, Buffalo, New York, Pittsburgh, Lincoln, Omaha, Nebraska, Dallas, Texas, Minneapolis, Minnesota. Man, I just love it. It's been wonderful. Everybody on Facebook, thank you very much. We just finished all our technical difficulties, but it's too late. We're gonna go ahead. We'll see you next week.
Man against destruction, cause you know that we are blessed. Fathers of the ghetto ain't expressing nothing less. From the north to the south, to the east, to the west. Mad dads, how you feel? On the streets, we keep it real. Day and night, the struggle fighting serious. I'm so for real. Tell me what was I to do. All I seen was black and blue. Soldiers showing love on the